This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
41-7. 41-7. 41-7.
What was the score, by the way?
41-7. Texans go to Baltimore, lay an egg, wet the bed, however you want to say it. 41-7. 2 weeks to prepare coming off a bye week. All this talk about Deshaun Watson versus Lamar Jackson, all this talk about the Texans offense, all this talk about this being an opportunity for Bill O'Brien, the biggest opportunity he's had as Houston Texans coach, and you go out there and you lose 41-7, John. I'm disgusted.
You should be disgusted.
I'm absolutely disgusted.
I'm disgusted with myself, in a sense. And here's why. I should have been angry after this loss.
And in
a sense, I am a little angry. I'm talking about like throwing stuff angry or throw your hands up in the air and curse the fates, curse the people in charge, curse Bill O'Brien. I think the biggest indictment of the Houston Texans right now is the fact that I think a lot of people fall in that category with me. I wasn't that surprised. And that, to me, is the biggest indictment of this organization getting to a certain level and not going over that line, going to the next level. I'm serious. It's like your parent, you know, when you do something really, really bad and they're not mad, they're disappointed. I'm disappointed, but I wasn't surprised. Part of me was like, wow, this is really crazy. And then part of me is like, I've seen this before. You know, I've seen them get to the brink, and we'll get to some numbers that back that up. I've seen them get to the second half of the season with a real chance to do something and do this. And what bothers me the most about yesterday's game is that I wasn't that surprised.
Which is shocking to me, because heading into the weekend, on the final segment of Football Friday, it is Reaction Monday here on Sports Radio 610, the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker. I said no result would surprise me in this game except Deshaun Watson having a dud or Deshaun Watson having a bad game. So when I see what I saw yesterday, and the Houston Texans are the first team this year to not score a single point on the Ravens in the first half, and this is a Ravens team that's played the Bengals twice, they've played the Dolphins, and they've played some other bad teams. The Texans, 2 weeks off the bye week, are the only team not to even put up a point on the Baltimore Ravens in the first half. And Deshaun Watson takes the biggest loss that he's taken in the regular season since high school. That surprises me, John. I wasn't going to sit here and be angry and be fired up about this if the Texans had even gotten blown out, but the offense had shown some signs of life.
Right.
But what we saw yesterday was inexcusable, given all of the time they had to prepare for this, and given how good this offense has been recently. What we saw was completely inexcusable. And I go back to Bill O'Brien on Friday, 2 days before this game. He's asked a simple question about the fight in the NFL the night before. Myles Garrett throwing his helmet or hitting Mason Rudolph with his helmet and all that. Bill O'Brien's asked about that. And he takes it as an opportunity to brag about how much work he's putting in for the Baltimore Ravens.
I really don't have any comment. I just let me explain to you my night last night, okay? So we got done with practice. We met with the players. We went upstairs and began work on Baltimore's red zone, which is extremely difficult. They're the seventh-ranked red zone defense in the National Football League. So we spent most of the night working on that. I didn't see any of the game. I was just told a little bit about what happened. I have no idea.
Okay, so you put in all that work. First of all, I don't even know if the Texans ran a play in the red zone. So that you might have put in too much work, but you put in all this work up to the final minute and you lay a dud like that, what am I supposed to think about this coaching staff when you have 2 weeks to prepare for this? You know what you're going into. You get healthier and you go out there and you look like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what you're supposed to think. It's problematic. I just mentioned kind of my feeling about the game. Let me give you some other facts here that tie in with my feeling. My feeling was that I'm a little angry with myself because it really didn't surprise me that much. I've seen this before, but here are the facts. This was an enormous game. I mean, this was a huge, huge game.
I heard Vandermeer say that he feels like the game Thursday is bigger than this one. I disagree.
Well, you can make that case.
I disagree.
Well, hold on. Let me
wholeheartedly disagree.
I do too, but let me just be fair here. I think you can make that case because divisional game, you can get to the playoffs and get the inside track. We've been to the playoffs in this city.
You've won the division. This was a chance to put yourself among the AFC elite.
Exactly.
This was a chance to not be the same old Texans. This was a chance to walk up the stairs of the high dive and dive into the big kids' pool and splash around with the Patriots and the Ravens. But you know what you did? You crawled up to the high dive, your legs started shaking, and you crawled down the stairs, and now you're splashing in the kiddie pool with the rest of the teams in the AFC South. This was a bigger game than what we're going to see on Thursday.
I totally agree. Now, like I said, I know you can make that case. But that's the case you can make if that's your ultimate goal. Hey, we get a juice box. We made the playoffs again.
All right.
Hey, you know, we won the division.
Capri Sun. All right. Thanks, Mom.
Let's put another banner up. Yes, those are steps that you can take to get to the ultimate goal. But this was a step up in class. Cue the boxing reference. All right. Everybody always uses boxing reference. You stepped up in class and you got the bleep knocked out. I mean, you got... It was a first round TKO, standing eight count, TKO, and then a knockout. I mean, it was an enormous game for Bill O'Brien. It was an enormous game for the Texans. It was an enormous game for Deshaun Watson individually and otherwise. It was an enormous game for Texans fans. And I think I'm going to start with that last part. Texans fans wanted to be shown that what we've all believed this year, and I've been sucked into it as much as anybody, you know, that this is a...
You dove in a little too far.
Maybe, but I've been sucked in as much as...
A little too far, Figgy.
As anybody. I said capable. But, you know, in terms of what this team can be. And they got knocked out. They stepped up in class, and they're not in that class. And that, until further notice, is a fact. We'll get to some statistics that will back up that fact. But you can talk about... You know, hey, you know, baby steps. Let's beat the Colts. It's a perceived rival by some people. It's a division track and all that. That's not what we were thinking with this.
Good
team.
To great is what we were thinking.
We were thinking better than that.
We were talking good to great
and bigger than that.
And now it's just back to reality. Let's go to the kiddie pool. I mean, let's go get a juice box and let's splash around the kiddie pool with the AFC South. This is Bill O'Brien on the execution or lack thereof yesterday in Baltimore.
No, I mean, they just did a good job. They executed better than we did, and they did a really good job. Not too much that, you know, they showed that they hadn't shown. They just executed their plan better than we, you know, coached and executed our plan.
Can I interest you in a quote?
You know you can.
John Harbaugh and his staff have outcoached Bill O'Brien and his staff so decisively, it should be humiliating for the Texans franchise. Just embarrassing, players too, of course. John McClain
said that.
That was John McClain yesterday talking about how outcoached Bill O'Brien and his coaching staff was outcoached by a Ravens team that didn't have the luxury of a bye week like the Texans did. Here's Bill O'Brien, though, because the Texans just lost 41-7. You were a 4-point underdog. Most games in the NFL are close. As a matter of fact, Deshaun Watson has never lost a regular season by more than one possession, but you lost 41-7. And quite honestly, it might have been even more dominant than the scoreboard said, because the Texans had some mop-up duty at the end. The Ravens took their foot off the gas. The Texans were still playing hard at the end. Bill O'Brien, are you surprised by this result?
That's the NFL, Mark. You know what I mean? It's the NFL. You don't. If you don't play well, if you don't coach well, and you make mistakes, you're going to get beat.
It's the NFL.
Yeah, it is.
You lost by 34.
It is the NFL, and you have to when you proclaim yourself or perceive yourself as being in that class, you have to show that you're in that class. again, I was watching this game and it's 14-0. I'm like, all right, well, you know, Deshaun, you know, they've been, you know, doing pretty well here and there. Let's see what happens. And then it just gets spirals out of control. It's disappointing that you're not madder about this game, because that means that you've been conditioned to seeing these things. And that's a bad indictment. That's a really bad indictment.
I think you should be a little bit more disappointed, but the thing is that it's really just more of the same. And I don't know what the evaluation is of this organization. I don't know what they're trying to evaluate. I don't know if you can say that this is shaping up to be a successful next step for this organization, especially when you factor in all the luck they've gotten in the division, which, by the way, continues heading into Thursday night's game. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that. But Bill O'Brien does want to make one thing clear. It was an ugly loss. He knows that media types like ourselves are going to say that, but there is something positive to take from this 41-7 beatdown that we saw yesterday that we hyped up for 2 weeks.
We got a good bunch of guys. You know, it was terrible. You guys are going to, I'm sure you're going to, you know, obviously report it that way, and that's the way it was. It wasn't very good, but if you watch our guys closely, guys are playing their asses off at the end of the game, fighting hard, and we got a good bunch of guys that I totally believe in there. And we just need to turn a page and move forward quickly here.
They were fighting their ass off. First of all, I think you should have taken the guys out in the fourth quarter, knowing that you got a game on Thursday. Second of all, they were fighting their ass off late.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's supposed to make me feel better?
They didn't quit. They played hard. Look, man, what he said there, from a coach's perspective, that's what you tell your team, all right? That's what you tell your team in the locker room. Hey, guys. We got our asses beat. We have to turn the page. Let's hit reset and start over, try to get through the Colts, and then build again back to where we can be a contender in the AFC. But in terms of publicly, there's got to be a little more accountability than that from Bill O'Brien. You can talk to coach speak all you want to the players, but there's, you know, this is 6 years of Bill O'Brien. This is, you know, reaching.
This is what big games look like with Bill O'Brien.
Well,
regardless of the situation, this is what they look like.
Yeah, and so it's 6 years. It's all these other years, 17 years, whatever it is, for the city with this team. You can't just say, well, you know, tough loss. Let's move on. I don't know exactly. Like, you're not going to fall on the sword and say, hey, I suck. But I think you need to be a little bit more, humbled by the fact, and maybe a little bit more inspired, or at least give your fans something that they can hang their hat on, that you're not gonna be complacent with this.
There's nothing to hang your hat on after yesterday. Tuck your tail between your legs and just go back to the kiddie pool. Back to the kiddie pool Thursday night right here on Sports Radio 610. The Texans and the Colts will splash around in the AFC South kiddie pool. That's really what we're dealing with right now. We're going to hear from Bill O'Brien after yesterday's loss live out there at NRG. I'm also going to ask John Lopez this, because there was a point this year where John Lopez said that he felt like Bill O'Brien was coaching better and that he was buying into Bill O'Brien as the head coach of the Texans. I'm going to ask the OG if he wants to take that back, and we'll hear from the man himself next.
For me, a loss is a loss. You know, still disappointed. We could have went back and forth and both had, you know, it could have been 41-42 and lost. We'd still be disappointed. You know, still opportunities out there that we didn't capitalize on. You know, we just got to live with it and, you know, correct the mistakes and, you know, move on and go out there Thursday and you know, flush it down and have a new opportunity.
It's Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. Lost in all this is, not only did the Texans get humbled to the point where they no longer belong in the same conversation with the AFC's elite, they're no longer even in first place in the AFC South.
They are not.
We'll get more into that as the show goes on. We're going to hear from Bill O'Brien in just a sec. But first, John, I want to ask you this. You have given, not overly praised Bill O'Brien for the job he's done this year, but you've given him some credit and said he's been doing a better job. Could I interest you in a take back?
In terms of, like, what I've said about Bill O'Brien? What I've said about Bill O'Brien has been consistent over the last couple of years. He's good. There's 32, he's 16. Okay? He is the mean in terms of NFL coaches. And this year has proved that. I mean, they've had some really good wins. I will say this, of all those really good wins, when you start looking at the second half of the season, and all the teams that the Texans have beaten this year, they've beaten exactly two teams. One, two. They've beaten two teams this year with a winning record. That's it. In their six wins, the only two have had a winning record as things stand right now. That would be the Oakland Raiders, who struggled with Cincinnati yesterday at 6-4, and the Kansas City Chiefs at 6-4. That's the list. So they've had some good wins. He is a good coach. Good doesn't get you Super Bowls. Good doesn't get you to the Super Bowl. So I'm not going to take back what I think of him. I'm just – here we go again. I'm just disappointed that he hasn't progressed. He hasn't got – I mean, it's 6 years in.
Let's go hear from Bill O'Brien. He's live at the podium right now at NRG. This is Bill O'Brien following the loss in Baltimore heading into the game against the Colts on Thursday.
Got back last night and watched a tape, and we began preparations last night on Indianapolis. So we're moving on to the Colts. It's a big challenge for us. Thursday night, quick turnaround, but we're looking forward to the challenge.
Bill, when you had the quick turnaround for Indianapolis and maybe their more recent games have been different than what they're going to look like on Thursday. Of course, Poyer played two games now.
Right.
Sets back. How does that challenge your scouting department to sort of figure out what they may do and get ready for them?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I mean, they worked hard over the last, obviously last week. They're always a week ahead, but even before that, we have scouts just like every team that are at the different games of the opponents that we play. So. But you're right. I mean, it is a challenge on a short week. They've done some different things even since the last time we played them. They're a very disciplined team, very well-coached team. And, we're going to have a bunch of jog-throughs and meetings and things like that and try to be ready to go on Thursday night.
Like they had a really big day running the ball yesterday. What's allowing them to run the ball right now?
Yeah, it starts up front with them. One of the best offensive lines in the league. Do a great job. They have good scheme, good backs. I think the way that their offense is run, it's run through the quarterback. He gets them into the right plays, and so they're running the ball very well. And to run it against Jacksonville, that's a tough defense to run it against, and they did a good job. So it'll be a big challenge for us.
Just as far as being on a short week, what are the challenges? Not just physically, but mentally, coming off of the loss and trying to just get back at it.
Yeah, I actually think that's probably a good thing. I think that, these guys, we have a resilient locker room. These guys will come in here today. They'll come in. We'll squad meet at 2 p.m. We'll meet more special teams, O&D, get right to Indianapolis, and then have a walkthrough tonight. And these guys will be ready. They'll be very focused. They're a great group to coach. They realize that in the NFL, it's a week-to-week business, and we've got to do a much better job this week, obviously. But on a short week, I think I know that these guys will be very focused.
Well, guys like soft tissue stuff like Roby or Will, your practices don't have a whole lot of probably full go in
right
this week. How do you find ways to maybe have them tested to see if they can go to do something different?
Yeah, we'll have to. That's a good question. I mean, we'll have to do things with them. We'll have to do things. This morning, this afternoon, not overdo it, but just to see where they're at. And then the same thing tomorrow, and then the same thing on Wednesday. And I would say that both of those guys would definitely, on a short week, be game time decisions. But we'll have to factor in how we, how we judge that during the week by how we work those guys out. Not overdoing it with them, but you got to make sure that they're ready to go.
On a short week, you being at home, have you noticed in your time coaching in the NFL if there's any sort of advantage to being at home as opposed to being on the road, more so on the short week than, say, you're given Sunday or Monday?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, obviously that can be an advantage, but at the same time, we were at Baltimore and traveled back. It's good that we're home on that type of short week. Indianapolis was home. They're traveling to Houston. So I don't know. I don't know if you can read too much into that. I know we're happy to be home. We're excited about being home. We know our fans, are looking for a real good game on Thursday night from us, and our players and our coaches. We realize that, and we're going to be ready for that challenge.
Bill, Deshaun hasn't lost a whole lot of games like that probably in his life. Really hasn't happened in the NFL at all. So, I guess, what do you see in him and his kind of response from a game like that? And, we talked about it being a short week, but
I think that you said it. You used the word life. So, if you know anything about Deshaun Watson, like, in the whole scheme of things relative to how he sees life and how he attacks things, that was one day that is over, And, you know, we'll clean some things up and he'll be focused on Indianapolis. You know, he's overcome a hell of a lot more than that. So he'll be ready to go.
As far as how the Ravens defense defended you guys yesterday, how do you combat when guys are assignments down the way the Ravens were and when the defense is just really not giving you a lot to work?
Yeah, they did a good job. I mean, again, you know, and again, this is segueing into moving on to Indianapolis. You know, we're going to see similar things. You know, Indianapolis plays a very disciplined defense, very physical style of defense. They're very well coached by Matt Eberflus. He does a great job. You know, I'm not saying the schemes are the same, but there's some carryover. And so we've got to, as coaches and players, we have to come together on a good game plan, and we got to do a great job as coaches and players of executing that game plan in a disciplined manner. We've got to do, obviously, a better job, which, you know, we're up to that challenge, but we've got to have a good couple days here and be ready to go on Thursday night.
When you want to fix stuff coming out of like that, but you got a short week, is it easier or harder to identify the things you want to shore up in a hurry, you want to take care of right away, or do you have to sort of, over the course of the next couple of days, hey, we need to fix this, but we also got to worry about next week right
yeah.
away?
I think that I don't know if it's easier or harder, but I know there's a big-time sense of urgency relative to what you're asking. So when you get back here last night, you already watched the tape on the plane. You have an idea of how the game was played and what we need to do to correct some things and what may carry over to this game. And so you get right to work on that because there's an urgency. There's a game Thursday night. I mean, basically, this is Thursday of a game week. You know what I mean? So, you know, we got to get going. And so I think that's a good thing. I think that we came in here last night as coaches. We worked at it. We got a little bit of sleep, and we got back up early, and we have a pretty good idea on what we want to do. And now we have to have good meetings and communicate it to the players and then good jog-throughs and get the players to know precisely what we want to do and build that and be ready to go on Thursday night. I just don't have too much of an update on any of those guys. I feel like all of those guys after the game were probably trending in the right direction, but I'm going to meet with our medical people here at 11, so I would say tomorrow I'll have a better idea for you.
When you go into a game with the Colts and some of the pieces look different, they're not going to have Marlon Mack. They did have another 100-yard rusher in the game yesterday. They're going to have some defensive players in this game that they didn't have the last time you guys played. How do you account for something like that? Is that going back and looking at what those guys maybe did earlier in the season when they were playing? Does it still apply with what they did against you guys last time? How do you scheme?
Yeah, I mean, you have to you're exactly right. You've got to do a deep dive. You have to go back and you have to look at all the different games that they've played with those guys in the games. And so they had some injuries yesterday. They've got to do the same with us. I mean, I'm sure they're doing the same thing. We had some injuries yesterday. They've got to see what we've done with different, you know, Fuller hasn't been in there a while. Is Fuller going to play? I don't know. I mean, we'll see. But, you know, we got to do the same thing with them. You know, I think that you look at their, you know, I think Yassin was injured yesterday. We'll see how that goes for them. So we've got to see, okay, who came in for Yassin and how did he, you know. So I think there's layers upon layers that you have to, you know, do a good job of trying to leave no stone unturned and make sure your players understand how they may play this game with the personnel that they may have.
How different is their defense? You saw a group of games where Hooker didn't play and then the games where he does play. How different are they when he's in the middle of the field?
Yeah, he's a great player. I mean, yeah, they have a lot of confidence in him because he's got great range, instincts, size, ball skills. He's got it all. I mean, that's why he was drafted where he was drafted. They do a really good job. You know, last year they played a lot of zone. This year they're playing more man. You know, they've got a lot of good disruptive players. Darius Leonard's a great player. Malik Hooker, you know, the guys up front, you know, Jabal Sheard. I mean, they've got a lot of good players on this defense. So they really do a good job of playing disciplined football and being where they're supposed to be. So we've got to play disciplined and we've got to execute and see if we can out-execute them. That'll be the key to the game, and, you know, that'll be the challenge. Thanks.
It's Texans head coach Bill O'Brien. Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Landry Locker, along with Figgy Fig. Deshaun Watson's first two seasons have one thing in common, and it might not be his fault. Or is Lamar Jackson simply better? We'll discuss next.
First down, Houston at the Raven 45. Watson takes the snap. He's got a little bit of time now, running out of it. Scrambling around in the backfield, slithering forward, out to the left side. He's surrounded, and he takes a big sack back at the Houston 44-yard line. And the ball comes out as well. The Ravens recover. Ferguson with it.
Texans fall 41-7 in Baltimore. Deshaun Watson outplayed by Lamar Jackson. We talked about it last week. I wanted you to simply say that Deshaun was better. You were hesitant. But, I mean, after watching yesterday, when you asked the question, and I was asked the question this morning when I was on with Ross Tucker, is Lamar Jackson better than Deshaun Watson?
We know the answer.
I said no.
To this morning?
I still believe that Deshaun Watson is the better quarterback. Tell me why I'm wrong, John Lopez.
Well, what I said was, you asked me last week who was the better quarterback. I said this year it's obvious that it's Lamar Jackson. He's getting it done. They're winning more games. His numbers are spectacular. He's probably ahead of Deshaun Watson in the MVP race, which, by the way, now...
Probably.
Which, well, no, that was Friday. That was last week.
Oh, okay.
That was last week. By the way, now it's Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson, and that's the list. I mean, that's the entirety of the list. So, yeah, right now I said Lamar Jackson, and then we asked the question or posed the question, what about moving forward? What about for the next 5 years? And then now you can start talking about Deshaun Watson. That's what I felt then. That's what I feel now.
Deshaun Watson has had 2 years as the week one starter, where he started every game of the season going back to 2018 to now. And both of those seasons have one thing in common. Despite the fact we've seen good things from him, there's always that other quarterback that's just outshining him. Mm-hmm. Last year it was Pat Mahomes. This year it's Lamar Jackson.
Right.
I refuse to believe that when it comes to talent, when it comes to who you would want to start your organization with if you were looking for a quarterback, that Deshaun Watson is the distant third between those two guys. So I'm left here asking, why exactly is it that, with that said, and it's not just my opinion, a lot of people feel the same way,
Yeah. Why
is it that the one thing that is two full seasons as a starter has had in common is that there's that one guy outshining him? Why is that? And I think it just goes back to the coaching. I think Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes has Andy Reid, and Lamar Jackson has Greg Roman, and Bill O'Brien is the guy that's talking to Deshaun Watson for 2 weeks leading up to a game against the Baltimore Ravens where he lays a complete dud. To me, I think Deshaun Watson is being held back by his offensive coaching staff, and I refuse to believe, maybe I'm just being stubborn, maybe I'm going to die on this hill, but I refuse to believe that Lamar Jackson is better than Deshaun Watson and that Pat Mahomes is that much better than Deshaun Watson as well. I think he's being handcuffed. I think he has to put on amazing performances for this team to win, and I think that what separates Deshaun Watson from the two guys who've outshined him the last 2 years is coaching. That's just my take on it.
I hear you, and I think it's a fair statement, because there's no question that Deshaun Watson has all the ability, and in some cases is better than Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. And I know Patrick Mahomes was the MVP, but in terms of just processing information, his intelligence on the field, reading defenses, I think a lot of people in the NFL would agree. We had that Stern talk, and Clint was flat out saying that he was the better kind of thinking man's quarterback than those other two. Probably a better passer than Lamar Jackson and a better runner than Patrick Mahomes. I think those things are indisputable. So the question becomes, why are Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes clearly better? If Deshaun Watson is a better passer than Lamar Jackson and a better runner than Patrick Mahomes and is an intelligent quarterback, why is it that he's still not, at this point in his career, at their level? There is a common denominator, and you just talked about it. He might just be getting held back.
You had 2 weeks to prepare for Baltimore. Bill O'Brien himself said that they didn't do anything different. Everything that he saw, he expected them to do. And Deshaun Watson has arguably the worst game of his career. You don't score a single point in the half, and you have a season low in yardage in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
What am I supposed to think?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to think? Because that is not just the NFL. Like, that is not 41-7 doesn't happen very often in the NFL.
Right.
Especially when two teams are believed to be equal and you have all that time to prepare. What am I supposed to believe about this thing? What am I supposed to believe? What am I supposed to look at? And furthermore, How is this any different than the previous 5 years of Bill O'Brien? On a different scale, how is this any different than what we've seen? Because we talked about the good to great.
Mm-hmm.
Good to great was the rally cry before the year. How am I supposed to, heading into a game against Indianapolis on Thursday, with the second-place Texans, by the way, the Colts are in first place, despite the fact Andrew Luck retired, how am I supposed to sit here and think that the Texans have taken that next step that they've talked about all this year?
Well, that's how we started the show. You can't. Yeah, you can't say that. You can't predict it. You can't put them in the elite class of teams in the NFL, especially in the AFC, until you prove it. And they're not proving it. And here's the other problem that has become a little bit too common. I got to coach better. We got to coach better.
No duh.
You're 6 years in. Deshaun Watson is clearly your starting quarterback. If you haven't been able to figure it out and get him to an elite level just yet, when are you? You know, when are you going to do that?
And I think, you know, with this game Thursday night, and by the way, the luck that the Texans have gotten in the AFC South is next level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what it is. It's obvious they don't belong in the same conversation with the elite teams in the AFC. But my goodness, they've gotten lucky in the AFC South. First of all, you had Andrew Luck retire. The Colts on Thursday will be without T.Y. Hilton, who's the biggest Texans killer of all time.
Definitely without Marlon Mack.
They're without Marlon Mack, who killed them in that playoff game last year. He fractured his hand.
Mm-hmm.
The Jags lost their quarterback for 10 weeks after week one. They had to trade their best player. The Titans had to bench their quarterback. I mean, the luck that they've gotten in the AFC South is next level. And heading into this game Thursday with probably no T.Y. Hilton and definitely no Marlon Mack, with Jacoby Brissett as quarterback on a short week in which the Colts have to travel here, if the Texans don't win this game on Thursday, then I think the question as to whether or not Bill O'Brien needs to return as head coach in 2020 needs to be asked, and I think it needs to be answered, and I think there needs to be a solid amount of skepticism as to whether or not he's ever going to take that next step.
That's a big if, but it's worth mentioning because if that happens and the Colts come in here, you might not make the playoffs. I mean, you'd be 6-5. Colts would have two wins over you, so clearly the tiebreaker, and a win ahead of you in the standings. They'd be 7-4. And in the AFC, it's no guarantee. I mean, there are some teams that are still – the Bills are 7-3. There's a wild card team right there, and then who knows what the other wild card –
You got the Titans twice.
And you got the Titans twice.
And you'd only be one game ahead of them in the loss.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, you'd be facing the Patriots as your next opponent.
And don't, you know, all of a sudden the Raiders struggled yesterday, but they got the same record as you.
I mean, you kind of browsed over it, John, but honestly, there's no excuse to lose this game on Thursday, right?
None.
They're only a 3.5-point favorite without Marlon Mack and without T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, that says something right there.
I'm serious. Mm-hmm. If they lose that game on Thursday, I think the question as to whether or not Bill O'Brien returns as head coach should be asked. What are you trying to accomplish?
Well,
what are you trying to accomplish?
Where are you going? What have you showed in terms of progress? Like we've seen progress this year in some games, but now looking back at it, just how big were those wins? And, you know, I mentioned earlier, you only have two wins over winning teams right now. It's week 12, and you only have two wins over winning teams. So you have to kind of evaluate looking back at this season. Where has Deshaun Watson reached another level? I think he's clearly improved this year, but look at the guys that are in front of you and their futures. And by the way, that's really important. You know, the Baltimore Ravens aren't going anywhere. They have some young linemen. They have Lamar Jackson, who's young. I get that Ingram's a little bit older.
They don't
older.
Even really have a top-tier receiver right now.
But, you know, Hollywood's just getting accustomed to, you know, to some of...
And he's hurt.
Yeah, look at the Chiefs. Young quarterback, you know, obviously they're not going anywhere. And some of these other teams in the AFC that all of a sudden, you know, you start looking around and you're like, okay, they're better than us right now. They got to the elite level while we thought we were getting there. You know, they passed the Texans and got there.
I mean, if they win this game on Thursday, I'm going to say, well, go figure. You should.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like, I'm not going to sit here and say, wow, what a big win by your Houston. No, I'm not going to do that because it's laid out perfectly.
No, it should be a win.
It's laid out perfectly.
Should be a win.
Like, if you're ever going to win a big game against the Colts, this is the one to win. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, boy, I'll tell you what, Friday's going to be nuts.
Yeah.
Football Friday is going to be absolutely nuts. And I'm not saying I want that to happen, but this is a game you have no business losing.
Mm-hmm.
What's the excuse?
There is none. At home, Thursday night, short week, they're traveling. Two of their best, their two best players offensively outside
that
of the quarterback.
That have killed you.
T.Y., one of them, are out.
They're with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll give him his due. I mean, clearly he's Brissette.
Andrew Luck was supposed to be their quarterback.
But Luck was better.
This is a backup.
Yeah, but Luck was better. No, there is no excuse.
You didn't even have to face the Jags starting quarterback all year. Twice you got to face the Jags with their backup quarterback. Nick Foles got hurt in the first half of their first game.
Yep.
Andrew Luck retired. They had to trade Jalen Ramsey. I mean, how many more breaks can you get? And how are we supposed to keep reacting to these division titles? Because I was told,
oh, you know how I feel about that.
But John, you got to go by what you're told, man.
Yeah.
Like, you got to go by what you're told. We can't keep moving the goalposts when it comes to how we evaluate Bill O'Brien. It's disingenuous. You can't do that. Like, I can't turn on the mic and sit here and move the goalpost.
Right. I just feel like, you know, if you're going to hang your hat on division championship and sneak or wild card and sneaking into the playoffs, your value system is just not championship level.
When you fired Brian Gain, you basically said division titles weren't good enough.
Right.
You talked about good to great.
Mm-hmm.
So now am I supposed to, when you had this opportunity to go there and prove yourself against the Baltimore Ravens, am I supposed to sit here after you beat the Colts and say, well, at least we're on top of the division? No, they told me themselves not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to move the goalpost and all of a sudden say, all right, we won the AFC South? You also got to take a closer look at when you win divisions. Like, Bill O'Brien's first two divisions.
Oh, the Jags and Titans won two and three games.
The rest of the division had a combined record of 36 and 60.
And then Andrew Luck got hurt and shot his shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, you were the first two division titles, you were 9-7, and the rest of the division was 36 and 60. You were coaching against Mike Mularkey, mm-hmm. Gus Bradley, and Chuck Pagano. The other quarterbacks were Blake Bortles, Zach Mettenberg / Marcus Mariota, and who the heck even knows else? A damaged Andrew Luck that led to a retirement. Last year when you won the division, you lost to the Colts 2 out of 3 times, and they ended your season. And I'm supposed to sit here and be happy about division titles?
No.
All right.
You shouldn't be.
If that's what I'm supposed to do, then let's just do it. Let's go beat the Colts, man. No T.Y. Hilton, no Marlon Mack. All right. Let's go do it. On to Indianapolis. What a massive game. What a massive opportunity.
Somebody just texted that I was smoking something because Jackson is not a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson.
I agree with that person. I agree
with
that
person. But he is a better quarterback. Look at the numbers.
He's having a better year, but he's not better.
Well, that's what I said. I said this year he's better. I also said moving forward for the next 5 years, I would take Deshaun Watson. I mean, what is controversial about that?
What if Bill O'Brien is the offensive coordinator / coach next 5 years?
Then we got to talk again over the next 5 years. Boy, if Bill O'Brien and keeps doing this for the next 5 years.
I mean, look at what the offensive coordinator Greg Roman's doing with Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're using their tight ends. They're using unconventional receivers. They're doing their thing. And then you look at how Mahomes uses Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
As good as Deshaun Watson is, it's just hard for me not to watch games like this, in which Bill O'Brien has 2 weeks to prepare and wonder how much better he could be.
Right.
How much better he could be. And what really frustrates me, John, it makes me really upset, is that you came on here and you said you're not even that surprised. You're not surprised.
That made me angry. The fact that I wasn't
surprised. You're not surprised. They lost 41-7.
I wasn't. That's what made me most angry, that I wasn't that shocked by this effort that they put forward.
41-7, man.
Because it happens. It's happened to this team a lot. And it shouldn't. Because I was angry that I wasn't surprised by it. I should have been shocked. I should have been angry. I should have been throwing my hands up and screaming at the TV. But I was like, man, I've seen this before. And that's a problem when you get, you know, conditioned for big letdowns like this in big moments. I mean, go back even before Bill O'Brien.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That just flat out sucks that you feel that way.
It's true.
You're not alone.
No. No, I think a lot of fans were like that.
713-572-4610. Reaction Monday continues. Is Bill O'Brien ready to break the bank? Or is he going to go broke? We'll discuss next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.